Okay, take your Bibles tonight, Psalms 127. Psalms 127. We're going to continue on the thought tonight. I told my wife, not last week, but Chad Conley was here, but the week, the Sunday night before that, the missionary was here about the youth camp. And so I got in the pulpit, and I try to always get you out by 7 o'clock. We'll see how well that runs tonight. And so I told her, I said, I preached 33 minutes and 2 seconds. She said, that's a good time right there. Amen. 33 minutes, 2 seconds. And tonight it looks like it's got to be 20 minutes and 2 seconds. But I'll do my best to try to not hold you too long tonight, okay? Psalms 127, I'd rather hear those kids testify about what God did in their heart. And so, again, thank you, church, for your sacrifice as well in funding the trip for these young people to be able to go. We've been preaching on Sunday nights. This will be the 13th message that we have preached from the beginning of the year, and we're going to preach as long this year as God keeps us on this theme, on the Christian home, dealing with the family. And we have preached a series of these messages, maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9 of them, out of Psalms 127. Look at verse 3, 4, and 5. We'll read it again tonight. Verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath this quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And we've been preaching on that mighty man and being the father. We know there's children here, so there's the mother present. Psalms 128 talks about the wife, and we've been talking about the fundamentals of archery, how it parallels spiritually to raising children. We've covered the stance, the positioning of the arrow on the string, which is the place of serving. We've talked about the draw, the holding, and the aim, which is the anchor position. It forms a cross. Everything's got to be about the cross, through the cross, pointing your children to the cross. We've talked about the shaping of the arrow, which are the children, the quiver that the mighty man has, a quiver full of them, and he's supposed to be a happy, the husband and the father is supposed to be a happy man. The mother's supposed to be a joyful mother of children. We talked about that godly, wholesome atmosphere in the home, raising children in that kind of atmosphere. You have a happy dad and a joyful mom, you raise happy, joyful children. And that is very, very vitally important, understanding that. And then when the arrow begins to get a little bit warped, and children, you know, when the arrow's not straight like it's supposed to be, we talked about the straightening of the arrow, the importance of how the Word of God is the arrow straightener, and how you straighten them up is with the Word of God and with Scripture. We talked about the discipline of the children, of the arrow. The rod arm dictates the elevation of the arrow when it's released. And so Sunday night before, we dealt with subject, we dealt with part one on the release, the releasing of your children, when the arrow is finally released, headed towards the mark and the bullseye, and talked about there's coming a day that the children are going to have to leave your home, and we don't want them leaving prematurely. Whenever the archer pulls to shoot the arrow and he releases before he's anchored in the cross position and before he is set and established with all the fundamental things right, before the aim is truly set and the arrow is released, they call it a snapshot, is what they call it. In other words, the archer let go before the aim was good and set. And what happens with a snapshot is because the archer is not in good enough shape and strong enough to hold the arrow through the aim process. And there's a lot of that going on in America. Children leaving the home prematurely. They're leaving, they're running away, or they're being kicked out, or they're in trouble, and they're leaving home, and they're leaving in all kind of bad ways. And God forbid that should take place in the church of the living God. Our homes are supposed to be different than the homes of the world. We're supposed to be raising our children by the truth of the Word of God that makes us free. We're supposed to be raising our children by the Word of God that gives us wisdom that the world does not have. It gives us knowledge that the world does not have. It grants us understanding and prudence and discretion that the world does not have. And I'm telling you that if the world sees Christian homes cannot have children that are released right and children that are raised right, it gives them no hope of being able to raise children right. So God help us in our homes, the Christian home, the Christian family. We talked about the release. The release when children finally leave your home, either in marriage or they're old enough and it's time for them to leave. They are to be leaving in the right way. And so what happens is when the arrow is released and it's not, you've held back, but yet you didn't get the aim right. Everything, all the fundamentals aren't right. You're holding the arrow, but you release prematurely, not because you're strong enough, just because you're just ready to release it. You're ready to get rid of the arrow. That is actually called in archery as a dead release. You hear that? I don't want any children leaving our home considered a dead release. Either you are to the place where, you know, you're ready for them to just get out. You know, just get out of the home and you're ready to be free from the children. You've drug them up long enough and you're ready to just get rid of them. And children don't need to leave in rebellion, okay? But God forbid that any one of us parents look at our children after we've released them and consider it a dead shot because they're out there living their own life, doing their own thing. The relationship is still not good between mom and dad. They left with friction. They left with bitterness. They left with anger. And they left with frustration. And the relationship is broken. God help us to be spared from that. Okay, so there's going to come the time that your children have to be released. And it ought to be a time of celebration. That's what you're raising them for, to go out and serve God. Is that not the place on this bowstring that they're put in, the place of serving? And I've said it over and over again, the ultimate goal and vision is for your children to serve the Lord. Young people, that's why we take you to meetings like this. Because what you're hearing and experiencing everywhere else, I want you to know you're not only hearing that in your own church. That truth is being preached somewhere else too. And I want you to know serving God is not only the right way, it's the only way to live. There is no other alternative of how you should live. You should live your life serving the Lord. And Scott preached it this morning, serve the Lord with gladness. I mean, listen, tonight, church, serving God is not just something we're forced to do. That's what I want to do. That's what I delight in doing. That's what my desire is toward the Lord. And God give us children that have a desire toward the Lord. In the release, it must be relaxed during the release. We covered this two Sunday nights ago. The release must be smooth. The slightest jerk of tension will cause the arrow to drift, and you don't have to hold your breath. You're not supposed to hold your breath when the arrow's released. And this idea, we've talked about Proverbs chapter 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. I believe that's essential to raising kids. I cannot say it enough that you just cannot tell them, you must train them. There's a difference between telling them and the difference between training them. There's a difference from instructing them out of anger and frustration and instructing them on purpose with a vision and instilling in them the right ways of God. And listen, training will come. First of all, you have to have it in yourself if you're going to put it in them. You have to have it in yourself and in your own heart before you can instill it in their heart. That's why Solomon said, "Son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." Tonight, children, give your heart to your parents. Parents, when they give their heart to you, let them know that they can trust their heart with you, okay? That they can trust their heart with you. And he said, "Observe, let thine eyes observe my ways." If there's one thing I've heard my dad say over and over and over to some of you young men before he passed away over the last few years, I would hear him counseling you and talking to you about raising children. And here's what he said. He said, "Your children are going to not do what they hear you say. They're going to do what they see you do." There's a whole lot of truth in that. And parents want to say one thing and do something different. And there needs to be the consistency in your life that they can observe your ways and see, well, that's exactly how Dad lives. That's exactly how Mom lives. Mom and Dad serve the Lord. They love the Lord. Their lives are sanctified unto God. They're not doing it to be self-righteous, and they're not hypocrites. They really love the Lord, and they're trying to live by the Word of God, and they want to see to it that we love the Lord and we live by the Word of God. And so let their eyes observe your ways. So let your way be in the way of the Lord. Okay, walk in the ways of God. Church is not something we put off like a coat when we get home. Our Bible is not something we take and put and shove on a shelf until time to go back to church. Our Bible ought to be in a place where they know we go get it every day, and they see it out, and they know that we're reading it. They know Mom and Dad pray, and the songs of God are not something to be just sung at church. That ought to be inside your car. That ought to be in your home. Amen. I mean, they ought to, if you sing in the shower, you ought to be singing about God in the shower. That's where spiritual songs are birthed. Say, what's your spiritual song? That's where you have the tune and no words, and you make up the words to go with the tune. That's a spiritual song. And so I sing, and whenever I don't, when I don't know the words, I ought to be a songwriter for the Lord. I sound pretty good when I'm singing it. But your children are to hear you singing about the Lord. That's what's in your heart. If there's a song coming out of your mouth, ought not to be the stuff of the world and all the country music and everything else. So that's what they hear you're singing outside of church, but they only really hear you really singing about the Lord when you're in church. You'll have a double standard that will be placed in their heart. Okay? Spiritual, it takes spiritual parents to raise spiritual children. And just because you're a spiritual parent don't mean that you'll have spiritual children, but at least they'll have a chance of being spiritual. Okay, and so I want you to turn your Bible. For the sake of time, I'm going to have to hit just a couple verses tonight before I turn you loose. Look in Proverbs chapter 4. We're talking about the release, the releasing of your children and your purpose and your goal and your vision of how they're to live when they are released from the home. We're going to talk about that tonight. And there's a couple things after the release. There's only two other things. There's eight things that and a couple other sub-points among some of those fundamental points. But after the release, there's two things left in the fundamentals of archery. The seventh thing, so the release is the sixth thing. The seventh thing is the follow-through. Okay, and what the follow-through is, and this is vitally important. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I feel like I need to mention it again. It is vitally important that once you release that, you're in that cross position, everything is set, and you release the arrow. Okay, the head. What the archery book said is that you should look like a statue of a cross after the arrow is gone, and hold your position until the arrow strikes the bullseye. And even when it hits, you still hold your position. You don't just shoot it and drop everything and see what's going to happen. And I thought about how important that is, that your children, once you release them and they're gone from your home, in the days to come and years to come, what a comfort it is to them when they can look back and Mom and Dad are maintaining the head position, which is Christ as our head. And they're looking back and Mom and Dad hasn't changed what they believe. Mom and Dad's standards are still the same. Mom and Dad are still standing by the way of the cross. They're still at the foot of the cross. They're still trying to point you and grandbabies to the cross. I'm telling you, friend, we've got to have the cross as a focal theme point of our life. And you grandparents, the Bible talks about teaching them to your sons' sons in the book of Deuteronomy. That's your grandbabies. And so your children and then your grandchildren need to look back with consistency, because I'm going to tell you what happens. What a devastation to children when all of a sudden they've been raised by Mom and Dad, told here's what the Bible says, here's how to live for God, here's what truth is, here's what is right. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for preaching. And then you change after they're gone, and you're not faithful, and you're in and out of church, and your life is not consistent, and your standards change, and now, you know, the things that used to matter to you the most, which are spiritual things, now they don't matter to you anymore. I'm going to tell you something, that is devastating to that generation that you sent out. Stay faithful to God. We need faithful moms and dads after the children are gone. Because I'm going to tell you, they're going to need some help that can, when they look back at you, just something about you. You know what? Whenever you're in that draw position, it is the draw, the holding, and the aim. When you finally have set that, you know what they call it? The anchor position. And you're a statue of an anchor. I'm going to tell you, my children in the days to come need to look back at mom and dad's just a spiritual anchor. And you need your children to look back. And they say, thank you, mom and dad, they're just an anchor. They're the same. Thank God they don't change. They love God and they're just real and they're faithful. And they love the Lord. And man, their life is not deteriorating. I mean, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's what our children need. And so look with me in Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Proverbs 4 in verse 10. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings. And so I love, as you read the book of Solomon, the book of Proverbs from Solomon, realize that he's instructing his children. He's pouring knowledge and doctrine and understanding and wisdom and discretion. He's pouring these things and prudence, trying to pour it into the life of his children, into their heart. And he says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. We saw this morning that God prolongs the days of those that fear God. And Solomon talks about in the book of Proverbs to raise our children to walk in the fear of the Lord all the day long. There's so many benefits and promises that come our way from walking in the fear of God. I don't have time for that tonight. He said, verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Hey, Daddy, look at me. When your children are gone and they're leaving, you should be able to say to them just what Solomon said. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, and I have told thee how to walk. No, I have led thee. I have led thee in right paths. Tonight, lead your children. Lead your children in the right path. When thou goest, so here's what he said. Imagine they're leaving home. The arrow is being released. He said, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. That word straightened does not mean straight. Okay, like a straight line. Straightened means to be confined and constricted. To be straightened. When the Bible talks about straight is a way and narrow is a way and straight. And so what he's talking about here is that your ways shall not be straightened. They shall not be confined. I'm going to tell you, the world has a way of coming down and crushing you. Sin has a way of boxing you in and hedging you in. How many young men have found themselves in a 6x6 cell for years? Don't tell me living their own way didn't cause their steps to be straightened. How come all this liberty ain't so much liberty when you're in trouble? Walking in the right path is the path of liberty. God has given us liberty in Christ. You have the right to do what God said. Thank God for all the freedom that we have in Christ. Liberty that is within the bounds. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you have your children. You got a big backyard that's 10 acres big. And you got a fence around the 10 acres. And you know what you do? You give your children liberty. You say you have perfect liberty to play anywhere with inside the fence boundaries. That's a lot of land to play in as a kid. Man, we used to play in like a 20 by 30 backyard. I thought that was pretty big. I mean, whenever I was a kid, they'd send you outside because mom and dad would say, don't be going in and out the door. You're letting the air out. That costs money. So they'd put you in the yard all day and tell you if you're thirsty, drink out of the water hose. We need more of that kind of raising, praise God. Say, what was mom and dad doing? Taking a nap in the air conditioner, I guess. I don't know. Watching us out the window. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good way to raise your kids. Put them out there. And so let me say to you, we have so much liberty in Christ. And isn't it amazing with all of that territory, somebody want to go to the fence and stand there and think, this is so horrible, I need to be out there. And out there is where the danger is. Out there is where the trouble is. Out there is where the destruction is. Out there is where you'll ruin your life. And I'm going to tell you, in Christ there's so much wonderful. It's far bigger than a 10-acre piece of land. I mean, thank God. Thank God. I mean, think about all the liberty Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. Eat of every tree, of the fruit of every tree of the garden except one of them. And buddy, they had to eat of that one, and it put them outside of the paradise of God. I don't think it fared too well for us outside of the paradise of God. What do you think? God's giving you, you young people, there's so much wonderful liberty in Jesus Christ. Thank God. Hey, I thank God for the boundaries. The boundaries are a blessing. Hey, wisdom lets you see boundaries are not bondage. Boundaries are not bars like a prison. Boundaries are the blessings of Almighty God. They protect us. Thank God for the boundaries that protect us from such misery and destruction and the destruction and misery that would be in our past. Thank God for the blessing. You know what? Wisdom. That's why you need to learn. Wisdom's a principal thing, young people. With all thy getting of wisdom, get understanding, because by understanding men depart from evil. And so wisdom's a principal thing. Wisdom will begin to look at the Bible and say, oh man, God is for us. God is for us. God's not against us. And you know what they, you know what? Psalms chapter 2, the heathen rage. You know, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know what they're imagining and what the heathen is raging about? Here's what they said in Psalms 2, talking about God. Let us break their bands asunder. So what are you talking about? They saw the boundaries of God as bands of confinement. You know what they said? God's got a yoke on us. God has bands. God is confining us and keeping us from how we want to live. And let us break his bands off of us. That's a heart of rebellion. I'm going to tell you what. If God's, if he's got bands on you, thank God for the band. The bands are blessings. You don't want to break free from God. I promise you that. You don't. Your sinful heart may at times want to, but thank God for the bands that protect us. That protect us. I remember Brother Barry Rackley just came to my mind, so I'm going to say it. I feel like maybe the Lord brought it up. Barry Rackley was preaching, and he was talking about that young colt, that foal of an ass that was tied with the mother in that in the way where four ways of two streets met. And the Lord said, you'll find that colt there and tell the owner the Lord hath need of them and bring them to me. And as they are bringing them, do you know that there's a rope that you put around the neck of that donkey? And what that rope does is it's a lead. It's called a lead rope. It leads them in the right way. And I'm going to tell you what the word of God is. It thank God, bind it about thy neck, Solomon said. Binded it like a chain about thy neck. And I'm going to tell you what God does. He leads us in the right way. But you know what a rebellious individual does? They will pull against the leading of God. And now that rope don't feel like a lead. It feels like something's killing them. You know what the difference is? A heart that's compliant, that's being led, that said, you just show me where I'm supposed to go because I have no idea how to live. And let God lead you. Let his word lead you. But whenever that donkey rears up and pulls back and sits down, and you're trying to force them and you're trying to pull them, it yokes down on the neck. And you know what happens? They feel like this thing's killing me. Thank God for the Bible. It's to lead you. It is to lead you. To show you in the right way. And parents, it's up to us. Train up a child in the way they should go. Put it in their heart. Put it deep in their heart. Concrete it in their heart. Let their heart get fixed on serving God. I'm afraid we're doing a poor job. I look back because the eighth thing, whenever the arrow's released and the follow-through, it's a self-analysis. It's where you will literally analyze how you've raised your child. And you need a self-analysis all along the way, because I'm going to tell you, there needs to be small corrections and small fixing things that get out of sequence and order. And so parents, mom and dad, get on the same page. Analyze your home. Take a checklist about what's going on, because you'll find yourself straying. You'll set things in order. You'll start loosening up. You'll start slipping, the creeping. Remember we talked about the creeping of the arrow moving. And so what happens, you have to have a self-analysis so that you are honest with the situation and God help you fix it. And so many times that especially as your children leave, you'll begin to analyze and no doubt, I don't know about you, we all come up short. There are some things we could have parented a whole lot better. We should have spanked them a whole lot more. That's my only regret, not spanking them more. That's it. When I analyze this thing, I should have beat the devil out of them. Amen. No, I'm just... How to fix it? Amen. But there's a self-analysis. We must analyze whenever they have been released. There's no greater joy than to see your children walk in truth. There's so much truth I want to give you tonight. I thought I'd only have part two to release, and I'm not keeping you any longer. This is one of the shortest messages you ever heard me preach. You better mark it on your calendar, because God is my witness. I feel like I just got started, and that clock is not my friend. And I know I don't have to be bound by the clock. I can only preach as much as your backside can take. And especially these young people, they've 8.5 hours of driving in a vehicle. I know they're all tired. It's hard. I've driven 8.5 hours and had to go out and preach, and preaching was the last thing I wanted to do when I got there after 8 hours. I'm like, let somebody else preach. I'm too tired. And so I appreciate you young people testifying tonight. Amen. Even those of you didn't have much to say, you had a little bit to say. And after 8.5 hours, Nehal back there, I said, you want to testify? He said, I'm too tired. I don't feel good. And I said, buddy, I get it. 8.5 hours in the car, I wouldn't want to say nothing either. Amen. I mean, church, why didn't we leave later? And we could have just watched it on live stream. But anyway, every one of you young people someday in the home, that time of release is going to come. When you leave, leave right. Listen to me tonight. I know there's some things your mom and dad could and could have done. But even if there's some issues and things weren't exactly right, I promise you, mom and dad's been righter than you have been. Think about what I said all along the way. Sometimes when there's friction and you think they're trying to keep you from something, they're doing their best to protect you many times from something. You don't understand it. They have your best interest in mind. I had a fishing guide that we just were with. Brother Don and I were just with a fishing guide. And that's a good way to spend a day, by the way. Amen. Fishing with a guide, letting him do all the work. But he said, he just made the statement that whenever he was 18, he was just ready to leave. Just get out of the house, do his own thing. And dad trying to tighten him down on some areas and all. I said, but you know, when I became an adult and had kids, I looked back. He said, it wasn't nowhere near as bad as I thought it was. I got to look back with some maturity and thought, boy, dad wasn't as bad as I thought he was. Dad wasn't as wrong as I thought he was. You know what? God give us some young people that are wise beyond their years. Give us some young people that have wisdom in their youth, that will have some understanding when they're being raised and mom and dad are doing their best to try to raise you for God. And there's times that they're going to step in the way, and with the wisdom of God, they just know it's not right to let you do certain things. And when they stand there, you know what God's going to judge you by? Not by what mom and dad said. God's going to judge you by how you obeyed it or how you rebelled against it. And there's a promise that comes, young people, from obeying. Thy days shall be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And walking in the fear of God shall prolong your days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And parents, I want you, whenever you're releasing your children, to be able to celebrate. When they're leaving you home, it's a kind of a bittersweet, of course. They're leaving, and it's time for them to leave, and you're not really wanting them to leave, but you know they have to leave, and it's just a wonderful thing, and they're going out to serve God. And you know, somebody asked me the other day, and I'm done. They said, when your children, you know, have children, and they're your grandchildren, instead of arrows, are they your darts? And I said, no, they're my children's arrows. Thank God I'm not responsible for them. I'm going to pray for them, be all that I could be, and love on them, love on them, love on them. And try to get them out of spankings. Amen. But we are supposed to be raising mighty parents. Our children are supposed to step in and be mighty men. And they have their own arrows. And by the grace of God, they send them out and they raise them right. And thank God they strike into the... I'm telling you, when the Bible talks about talking with the enemies in the gates, you young people have no idea the threat you are to the devil. Hitler said, he that owns the youth, he controls the future. The youth. And I'm going to tell you, we need you. We need you. And I hear some people say, God doesn't need any of us. I mean, if God needs a donkey, go tell him the Lord hath need of him. And don't tell me God needed a donkey, but Jesus isn't going to come down here tonight and preach the gospel to you. He's using us, using men. The Lord needs you. He's designed it to where he's going to use you to fulfill his purpose. Young people, we don't need to lose you. We need you for God's kingdom, for God's purpose. We want your life to be blessed. And if God will help you in wisdom, grab a hold of it tonight. I'm telling you, serving God is not one of the ways to live. It's the only way to live. The only way. God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand our feet. We're going to be dismissed in prayer. Not going to have an altar call.